This is Terry Fenneman. Today is July 23rd, 2020. I am interviewing Jill Fries with GS Publishing, based in Elgin, North Dakota, for the Community Journalism in Middle America, Challenges and Innovations of COVID-19 Coverage Oral History Project. So Jill, why don't you start out telling us how long you've worked in journalism and a little bit about your career.
Okay. I started in 1996. I graduated from college at University of Mary with a degree in English and Communications. And my first job was an internship at the Mandan News. And just 3 months after that, I landed where I am now at the Grand County News in Elgin. I got married, moved to a small community, and really the only job that was available for me in the community was the newspaper. So I started working here as a typesetter and kind of grew into the job. And in 2004, I purchased the Grand County News and the Carson Press from the existing owners and have owned that for 16 years now. And in December of 2019, I took over the Adams County Record and Hettinger County Herald as well.
And what are your newspaper circulations?
All total, they're right around 2,000.
And how many people work at the various papers?
At the Grand County News and the Carson Press, that's housed in one building in Elgin. Myself, and I have a part-time gentleman that comes in that helps with some office management things. And I also employ a writer. She just goes out and does feature stories for me. The Adams County Record and Hettinger County Herald, that I have combined into one office that's located in Hettinger, North Dakota. And we have two employees that work in that building.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about the backstory of how you acquired those two newspapers?
Well, it was nothing I was looking to do. It was Steve Andrist from the North Dakota Newspaper Association reached out to me one day in November. And he just said, you know, I just need to tell you that two of your neighboring newspapers are closing down at the end of this week. And he said, is there anything you can do about that? I really wasn't looking into expanding my business. I was busy enough doing just what I was doing with the two newspapers. So I thought, well, I may as well just go take a look at them. So I took off driving and went and visited people in the Mott area and the Regent area and down in Hettinger. And I visited the Adams County Record office and met Frank and Cassidy, who are the employees down there. And I thought, there is no possible way I can let these two community newspapers die when I can do something. I can certainly help and keep these newspapers alive. So that day I went back and I reached out to the current owners of those newspapers and made them an offer. The next Monday they had accepted, and the next Wednesday I published my first newspaper in those counties.
So when did the impact of COVID on your newspaper start?
You know, I am a small rural newspaper, and we haven't had the effects that other people have really had from COVID. I have seen my advertising go down a little bit just because people weren't necessarily getting the foot traffic. But in the same token, another section of people kind of stepped up and they wanted to let people know that they were still doing business, but they were just doing it differently. So they kind of picked up the slack from the other advertisers. So it really hasn't been that bad for me in this area.
Have you adjusted any of your newsroom routines during the pandemic?
No, we're doing everything just as normal. I mean, of course, we're not going out and like reaching out to people on the street and things like that, like we normally do. We're doing a lot of things over the telephone and online if we can. But for the most part, things are kind of just going as usual. We're still working. We did close our offices to the public for, I would say, from about the middle of March until maybe June. We locked our office doors and didn't allow people to come in unless they called first, or we would just meet them at the door.
So have you recommended any safety regulations for your staff as far as wearing masks or anything like that?
In the office, we're all very segregated. So the office is pretty large, and I'm in my own office, and the other gentleman that works here is in his own office. So we do the hand sanitizer, we wipe down surfaces every day, but we're not really in close proximity with each other. So we don't wear masks in the office. In the other office, they don't, because they too, it's a large office, and they are separated from each other. There's really no contact with each other, and we have very little foot traffic. Even now that we've opened our doors, we have very little foot traffic that comes into the offices. So we're trying really hard just to keep our surfaces clean and to constantly wipe the door handles. And I mean, we don't have like pens and things like that set out for people to use anymore. They can use their own pens.
So in the first few months, it was mostly Fargo that was having the COVID cases. As we're speaking this week here in mid to late July, North Dakota is starting to see a rise in cases. Talk about what the pandemic is like in your community. Have you had any cases in your counties?
We have had, in Grant County, we've had two. One was asymptomatic, so she showed no symptoms or anything. She just tested positive. We did have one gal who was hospitalized with it, but and we tried to reach out to her for a story, and she declined to visit with us. Adams County, where that's where Hettinger is, they are the last standing county in North Dakota with zero cases yet. So that's kind of interesting. We just did a story this last week about why they may be the last county standing, and they believe that they're kind of far enough out there where they don't interact with a whole lot of people outside of their community. They have pretty much all of the services, so they don't need to go to bigger communities and go to those big stores. They have like the grocery stores, the dollar stores, they have a hospital. They have pretty much all the services that they need to just function at home. So that's kind of interesting. And Hettinger County, they've just had a few more, but they just got their first case maybe a month ago. But they had a county fair there a couple of weeks ago, and that brought hundreds and hundreds of people into the community. So they've had a few more. They're only sitting at, I think, four or five cases now. And Sioux County has very few also. They might be up to like 12.
So talking about having a county fair with hundreds of people coming, how seriously do you feel the communities that your newspapers are in, how seriously are they taking the pandemic?
They're not taking it seriously at all. I am actually just working on a book for the Grant County Fair that will be held August 13th through the 16th. And this is a big event that draws hundreds of people also, and they haven't modified their schedule at all. They have dances, they have group meals, they have parades, they have everything just like it's normally held every year. So they're not modifying anything. They're not really considering the repercussions of COVID at all. And then there's a couple communities like Elgin, that's the town my office is located in. They have canceled their town celebration. They canceled a big rummage sale they normally have. Flasher canceled their town celebration. New Leipzig, a town 6 miles away, just had a meeting last week. They are canceling their German celebration the end of September just because they don't know what's going to happen and they don't want to be the cause of more cases in our county. But some people just don't care. They think it's a hoax, and they think they're untouchable, that it doesn't matter what we do here.
Have you written any editorials about this topic, or do you think that it's not worth the effort?
I wrote one editorial just this last week, actually, about how bad I am about wearing a mask and how much better I need to be about taking those precautions and about caring about the other people in the community and wearing the mask. Because I go from my home to my very safe little office that is, again, like I said, there's very little foot traffic. I don't see a lot of people on a daily basis. And then I may stop at the grocery store or the gas station on my way home. So I don't interact with a lot of people. I just don't see a lot of people. So I haven't been wearing a mask. Well, now that masks are mandatory, if I do have to go to Bismarck or a larger community around me, I will. It's not that I'm doing it in a protest or anything, not wearing a mask. I just haven't really seen the need. But that was my editorial this week about how we actually do need to start taking into consideration the other people around us, and yes, taking those precautions and wearing the masks.
So, talk a little bit more about how you've personally had to adjust to being a journalist during the pandemic. Do you have any kids at home or anything?
I do. I have three teenagers, a 14-year-old, a 16-year-old, and an 18-year-old who just graduated. This was my first child to graduate from high school, and it happened to be in 2020. So they were all at home doing the distance learning. And I mean, luckily they're old enough, they can do all of that type of thing on their own, but it was difficult for them to stay motivated at some points. So then on Fridays, I did not come into my office on Fridays. So we were trying to kind of alternate our schedule just a little bit during like March, April, and May. So we were only at the office together 2 days, and then he would work here a day, and then I would work at home a day. While I did that, when I was home, trying to do office work at home was almost impossible with three kids around. And I wasn't even having to help them do any of their distance learning. So I can only imagine if you had little kids at home, how difficult that would have been.
And what's your husband's name?
Eric, and he is a farmer and rancher.
Talk a little bit more about what it was like for your family to have a senior during the pandemic and miss out on some of those things.
It was hard. We had, so my daughter and I and a couple of her friends had just gone prom dress shopping. I think maybe the first weekend in March. And that was before we really knew anything about what was going on. So we bought her prom dress for her very first prom ever. And she was so excited. It was supposed to be April 25th. And then March 13th came, and that was the last day of school. So things like that just got forgotten. Her prom dress is still hanging in her bedroom. She's hoping to wear it next year if she doesn't grow or anything like that. But as far as having a senior, they missed out on their class trip. They missed out on just having all of that, the fourth quarter, you know, having a little bit more freedom in school and being the seniors and just having fun with it. And we missed out on having a nice big celebration and an open house for him. None of our family could come and celebrate that big milestone with him. So it was hard. He said he was okay with it, and we did have a graduation ceremony at the school with just immediate family members. But it's not the same as having the entire community gather and celebrate these kids.
As somebody who owns a few newspapers, did you do anything to try to, anything extra to try to make graduation special for those seniors?
We did the big graduation pages and really celebrated those kids. And we encouraged clubs and organizations to highlight their seniors. So I know our FFA organization, they just interviewed the seniors in the group because they didn't get to have their banquet either. So they missed out on like the banquets and the state competitions and things like that. So they did write up like a, oh, like an article just kind of featuring their seniors in their group and wishing them well and explaining how they had contributed to the group. So that was nice. And then after graduation, normally during graduation, I take a ton of pictures because there's a ton of pictures to be taken. But this year, I was giving specific rules. I wasn't allowed to have any graduates together in a picture. I could take a picture of each student standing on the stage after they picked their own diploma up and they stood and looked at me just holding their diploma. But there wasn't even a lot of pictures to put in the paper. So, and we did have a little bit of a parade afterward. So I tried to do that, and I just tried to highlight each and every one of the graduates, but that's all we could do this year.
How have the number of hours you work each day or each week been impacted by the pandemic?
I don't know that it has necessarily been impacted by the pandemic. I think maybe I'm working a little bit more because I am trying to make up because we haven't had a lot of the town celebrations this summer. There's been very little revenue for us this summer. So we're trying to come up with different ideas and just some kind of think outside of the box and how we can market ourselves and make us a very necessary item in people's homes. So that's taking a little bit more time just to try and implement some of those things.
So how, if at all, has the news strategy for your newsroom changed as far as print, online, and social media? Are you seeing any big spikes in web traffic or social media traffic?
Not really. I do. We have a Facebook page. We have our web page. We have an online edition. And right away, when all of this started, I reached out to Steve again at NDNA and I asked him what he thought of just offering my online edition for free for people. Because I thought, you know, what if our mail service ends, or what if we can't get paper to have our newspaper printed? I wanted to make sure that everybody knew we had an e-edition and it was accessible to every single person if they had email or if they had a computer. So for a few weeks, and I left that open. I think I took the paywall down for maybe a month and a half, almost 2 months. And we did get some more traffic, not a lot more traffic, but we did get some. And we did get a few more online subscribers. But for the most part around here, people want that physical newspaper. So if, like they were talking about this summer, if the postal service would have shut down, I don't know what we would have done. Our readers just aren't accepting to the online edition.
Have you tried to balance pandemic coverage and coverage of other things?
Well, since we have a very small, we're just not affected that much by it. So we have done, and when I, for my community, I'm the local newspaper. I don't want to cover statewide news because they can get that anywhere. They can turn on a TV or they can grab the Bismarck Tribune or they can look anywhere and get the statewide news. So I'm only covering things that affect us personally here. And I did do like some of the big announcements that Governor Burgum came out with. We would have like a page of coronavirus for a, we had that maybe a few weeks, and then everything seemed like it was just overwhelming for our community. Reduced that back to only putting in like the active number of cases in North Dakota and in the United States and in the world. But at this point, unless something directly affects us, I'm not even covering it in the newspaper because they can get it from so many other sources and people around here frankly around the world. I mean, they're tired of hearing the gloom and doom of the pandemic. They want just the local news. And that's what they love my papers for, is because it is celebrating the local things that we have. And yes, absolutely. If there would be an outbreak or if there is something that my readers need to know, we 100% would cover that. Just yesterday, the sheriff reached out to me and our emergency services officer reached out and they said, we're going to have our very first mass testing in Grant County on August 3rd. So that's going to be the front page of our paper next week, is just showing the route that people will take. And we have my writer is following up and doing the whole front page story on just how that's going to be and how you get tested and everything about that. But for the most part, there hasn't been a whole lot. We've visited with our local hospitals and they have shared all the information they have with our community. But until something really happens, or if there's an outbreak, there's not a lot we can share with our readers.
Talk a little bit more about how the financials of your newspapers haven't been affected as far as advertising during the pandemic.
Yet they really haven't. It really has only been the community celebrations and like the job work and things like that that I do for them. That's the only revenue that I have really, really lost over this. So in an effort to try and combat that, we have a lake maybe 13 miles from us. And so for the first 2 weeks in June, I ordered 300 additional newspapers from my printer, and I went up and I begged the newspapers, and I went up to every single cabin, 44 cabins. So I walked 10 miles in this little route and took a newspaper to every single cabin and dropped it on their doorstep and gave them a special little note in there, just offering a summer subscription to our lake cabin owners up there. And so every Thursday, that's what I do after work, is I go up. So far, I've gotten 20 subscribers to the lake. So on Thursdays, I walk up there and go door to door and just deliver their newspapers to them. And that has kind of made up for the revenue lost in the celebrations.
That's an amazing story. Wow.
Yeah, it's really been a really, really good thing for us too, because I've implemented another page in the paper. The lake is called Lake Chida. And so we've implemented a Lake Chida news page, and we're just kind of doing stories and featuring the lake and different things out there. And it's been really interesting for the people in town who know that it's out there but don't really know that much about it. And for the people out there, they have been coming into town and they've been really, really utilizing the newspaper and seeking out the people who can provide services for them. So that has helped bring in more advertisers because they want to be part of the newspaper that goes out to the lake. So it's working. That's so far, that has been a fantastic tool for us.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I guess speaking of business model innovations, how do you see the business model for the industry changing as a result of the pandemic?
I think that we just all have to start learning to look outside of the box and see how we can maybe do things differently. And I know that's hard. It's hard to do, and it's hard to change how you do business, but just this little, like the little lake thing for me has been a fantastic tool, and it's not something for the last 16 years. This lake has been here for all the time I've been here, but I've never gone up there and just put the work into it. And maybe it's just time that we start looking at things differently and do things differently and see how our change the way we can serve our readers.
So going off of that, is there anything else that you would like to say on how you think the pandemic is changing journalism as an industry?
No, but I think the public seems like they're much more critical of journalism right now, and they're just so critical of the media in general about how we are distorting things and changing things before we get them out to the readers. And like in North Dakota, that's not the case at all. We're still just giving them both sides of the story. We're doing our job as journalists just to provide them the story. So it's hard when these people have this negative view of the media in general and then bring that down to our level, because that's not us at all. We still have journalistic integrity, and we're trying our best to give our readers the most complete story we possibly can.
Are there any other changes with your reader base that you've noticed during the pandemic?
I've gotten several more subscribers, and I think that they just really want the local news. Again, I think because I'm in a small town and because we don't have the influx of the COVID in our area, people are so tired of hearing about it, and it's really a big subject and it's a scary subject. So sometimes they just want to know what's happening around them. They want to read about their neighbor doing something fantastic, or they want to read about a new business opening or just anything else. And so we've actually gotten a few new subscribers out of it, which has really surprised me.
What have been the biggest challenges for you professionally during the pandemic? Besides walking all those miles.
That was probably good for my health, actually. Gosh, I haven't really. I think maybe just trying to come up with different revenue streams for the all four of the different newspapers and making sure that we're all very solvent. And even if we don't have, because until last week, we didn't know if we were going to be going back to school or not. So, and back to school is a huge revenue stream for us, and so are athletics. So without that, we were really, really nervous about how we were going to make ends meet in the next few months. But, and so we did try and implement a few different things this summer just to kind of put a little bit of money in the bank to try and get us through. But now that school and athletics and everything are going on, it's kind of a sigh of relief because it means that we can progress like normal, and we can count on some of those things.
A lot of the newspapers that I've talked to applied for the Paycheck Protection Program. Did you do that?
Yes, we have a great local banker, and the day it came out, she reached out to me and she said, "You know, this is a fantastic program. It's only here to help you. We want to make sure that you're retaining all of your employees." So we did take advantage of that, and it was really, really nice to not even have to worry about any of our employees not having a job to come back to.
Talk a little bit more about how the pandemic has influenced you personally.
I am busy. I'm a very busy person with three teenage kids and four newspapers to run. So my life gets hectic. And during the school year, I generally am at meetings or games or things like that until at least 10 at night. And then there's weekend tournaments and banquets and celebrations and things like that to go to. So this year, there hasn't been any of that. And it's actually been just a really nice breather for me to not have to go to all of those things. It's kind of just been a break. So when I do get to go back to some of those things, I'll appreciate it a lot more. But it really, really has been refreshing and nice to have a little bit of a break and to actually spend time at home with my family and really spend time with my kids because they are just as busy as I am. So I very rarely got to see them. So in March, April, and May, we had nothing but quality family time in the evenings, which was pretty incredible, especially since my oldest, he graduated May 24th, and then he left for the military summer camp on May 31st, and he won't come back until after college starts, so he'll transition right into college. So it was really, really nice to spend some time with him.
And what's his name?
Evan.
And what's your daughter's name you mentioned earlier with the prom dress?
Allie.
What changes to newspaper operations during the pandemic are you most ready just to be over?
I would love to go out on the street and walk up to anybody and just say, "Hey, can I ask you a question?" Instead of standing 10 feet away from them and hollering at them. I am ready to go back to games. I am ready to go back to meetings. I'm ready to go back to the conventions and visit with my peers and just be back to normal.
How has the pandemic influenced your views of the role of journalism in society?
I think it's really important. I think like I touched on before, it's our job to provide a complete and very unbiased story and just give everybody the facts of what's going on. In some ways, that has been really swayed. I'm not a fan of watching the national news just because sometimes I feel like they're just trying to sway us one way or another. And I just want the facts. I just want you to tell me what's happening so I can make my own decision. Or I don't know. I'm not even really sure how to say that, but I really just want them to, just everybody, to provide all of the facts and give us the straight story. And I just think that's our job. We're here to just provide both sides of the story and give everybody the facts.
What do you want readers to know about journalism right now?
Well, local journalism, we are trying our hardest. We are doing everything in our power to make sure that our community is informed about what's happening in our community and how everything is affecting our readers.
What do you want journalists 100 years from now who may be covering a new pandemic? What do you want them to know?
Again, just report the facts. Tell us what's happening and tell us what we should be doing. That's a tough one. But just be very unbiased and give your readers the facts and all the information they need.
Is there anything else that you wanted to talk about?
No, I was also going to mention, though, that, you know, while this isn't necessarily journalism, but this is personally in like our family and things like that, since my husband's a farmer, for us, it was fantastic to have the kids out of school and doing the distance learning because all three of them pitched in and they got the entire crop seeded before graduation. They got all sorts of projects done around the house. So there were a few good things that came out of it just because we had a lot more family time and we were able to work together to get a lot of things done. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Okay. This is the conclusion of this oral history.